here we are on day three of the and the final day for the Magi Fest, and everything seems to be going pretty well. I know the dealer room has been pretty crazy, and I got one of the premier dealers with me right now. Hey, Cosmo, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, Scott. How are you doing, brother?
Fine, thank you.
And now, just so everybody knows, I am not a dealer. I am not a dealer, just in the dealer room.
You're in the dealer room behind the table, which kind of made you more of an official dealer than some.
Well, I'm more of a dealer than you.
That's true, exactly. Because you got product you're selling over there,
yeah,
which
well,
not just product. I mean, real magic is more than just a product.
I would like to think it is, yeah. I'd like to best deal of magic, I think. And look at this here. Now, I know you guys can't see out there in audio land, but I'm showing Scott here the screen of my iPhone, and all of the real magics on that iPhone streams.
Incredible.
So, yeah, now we have you can get every issue of Real Magic online for $5 a month, just like Netflix.
It's incredible. Download it, streaming
it's
on demand.
It's on demand streaming, yeah. So you buy, you pay $5, you got 31 issues of Real Magic, every issue in the future, and plus additional content that we're creating, online magic courses, and all kinds of stuff we're working on right now.
Is the same thing as kind of like the DVD where that you can just kind of just push on something, say, I want to see the Move Monkeys, or I want to see explanations, or interviews.
Check this out. I'll do it for you here, Scott,
okay.
And you can tell everybody how it works. So see, you can see where they have the little play button in the middle of the screen. You touch it, and it plays the entire magazine. We're looking at the David Stone issue.
Holy cow.
And then, or you can scroll down and you can go to the individual segments. Right there is our newest columnist, Doc Eason's now a columnist in the magazine. You want to watch Doc behind the bar, you press it.
Right.
There's Doc. You can see Doc there.
And doing a little video, yeah.
Yeah, and he's talking about his life and doing magic behind the bar. So.
I saw that Chris Hannibal was helping a little bit. Was that just kind of a...
yeah, he was there.
Just happened to be there. I mean, he's not going to be every month or something.
Just, no, no.
That was kind of interesting to have his point of view then also.
Well, Chris is awesome, you know. Awesome. Yeah. He's a great performer. He's one of those rising stars, I think, in the magic world right now. Everybody's starting to talk about him, getting a little buzz about Chris Hannibal. So, yeah, we're really excited and honored to have him
on
the magazine.
That's a neat little thing. So as long as you continue your membership, you have access to this.
Anywhere in the world where there's a computer and internet, you can access Real Magic, any data.
iPhone, iPad, and listen, any portable device you've got.
Yeah, and the servers are so good on this thing that you... the servers are so good on this thing that you can play it on your Apple TV, and it looks pretty good, and it loads really, really fast.
Do I say hi, Stan? Stan Allen just had to come over and sit down.
He's got a little magazine, too.
His is digital as well.
You don't kill trees.
That's right. And now we make plastic things or whatever DVDs are made out of. I don't know.
But wait a minute. Paper recycles. Maybe he's worse than I am. I'm not sure.
Yeah, so when you recycle, do you use recycled paper?
No.
In the magazine? Okay. No. Okay.
Did I say that out loud? Shit.
See, that's why you should buy Real Magic, because Magic Magazine are polluters.
Yeah. Do the environment well. Exactly. So tell me, speaking of the street, how's street magic coming along then for you?
Me?
You still doing much of that since you have to be, you know, working so hard to produce, you know, every other month with Real Magic. So,
you know, I've done, just telling folks that asked me about this, I've done 30,000 shows in my life, more shows than just about anybody on the planet.
30,000 shows.
Yeah, 20 years plus of work doing a lot of shows, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I love it, but I don't like to do it all the time these days because I'd get burnt out again. I don't want to get burnt out again. I was burnt out for a while.
What does a burned out street magician do?
You know, like 5 or 6 years ago or 7 years ago, I had started the production company. I was still doing a lot of shows. I come home and it was October, and I did so many shows that summer. I just hated people. I hated the show. I hated it all. And I took my table and I put it in my closet. And I put it in my closet. I told my wife, I'm done. I'm never going to do it again. I'm just going to focus on other things. Well, the spring came around, and I started to become, you know, itchy and started looking at the closet. You know, many, many years ago, I was in a hotel room with Jim Cellini.
Okay.
I never tell this story to anybody, but I'm telling it to you because you're my friend. It's going to be in my book, this story. I was in a hotel room, and it's just 20 years ago or something, and I'm on a bed, and then Cellini's on his bed, and I said, Jim, what were you like when you were young? And he stood up, and he flexed his arms, and he got this twinkle in his eye, and he says, I was strong. The streets were mine.
Wow.
I was in total control. I knew that whoever was going to walk down that street was going to stop, watch, love it, and pay me. Now, 20 years later, I'm looking at that closet, and I wasn't burned out. I hadn't done a show in 6 months.
Yeah.
I went out and said to my wife, I said, this is a nice day. I'm going to go out Saturday. I'm going to do a show just to see if I can love this again.
Yeah.
And I went out on the street, and I did that show. I really never understood what Cellini meant by that, because I would never got to that point until that moment. That was the moment that I understood. I went out on the street, and all of the things that I had learned from doing those 30,000 shows all came into play. And when people walked down the street, they stopped, they loved it, and they paid. You know, the streets, that power that he
felt strong.
It was strong. I was in total control. Yeah.
And you fell back in love with it.
And I fell back in love with it. And, you know, and I'm getting, I'm 56 now, you know, so I don't really want to do shows all the time, but I go out and I do many shows every year, just to prove myself that I can still do it, you know.
Let me back up just one step, in which you said that you kind of put it up. What was there one particular thing that you, there was a person, a location, or what was it that you said, I've had it, this is it? I mean, I know it's a series of events. It's always like when someone gets a divorce, it's not because of something someone said, it's a buildup, but it's usually that one trigger. What was the trigger that kind of sent you off the streets for a while?
You know what? It was just this thing. I was working one day, I was with Bobby Maverick, and Bobby is a great street performer from Cincinnati. He's a new guy, but he's one of the very best. And he was with me. We were on the road together, and we were swapping on the pitch. We worked hard for a week. And I was getting, he was saying, you're not even talking to these people anymore. You know, I was just regurgitating lines. I was forgetting where I was in the show.
Yeah.
I was thinking about what I had to do tomorrow. And that's what I was thinking. I wasn't thinking about the audience. I wasn't thinking of, and that was the moment I realized I have to stop doing this, because it's not fair to me, and it's not fair to my audience. Yeah, you have to be in the moment when you're doing that kind of show. It's
right.
Interactive, and I'm not interacting. I was just throwing it out. You know, I was mailing it in. I was cooking eggs.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Slinging hash.
Yeah.
And that was it. I says, I'm not enjoying this. I shouldn't be doing it if I don't. You have to love it. You have to love your audience, and you have to be great at this thing to be out there. And
yeah.
And I wasn't great at that moment. I wasn't great anymore. You know, and yeah. I'm not bragging about being great. I'm just saying I'm just great at this because I've done 30,000 shows.
Yeah.
You know, if you've done 30,000 of anything,
you better be good.
You better be good.
That's right.
Yeah.
You wasted a lot of time.
Oh, you're very stupid. Just talentless, you know.
And so you really have been phasing away from that, not doing as much. And so again, that I have to think that it takes a lot of time, not just to edit all the video, you know, and make sure that the other guy is doing it, but to produce it and find content, you know, all the time.
Content, and it's a real business. I mean, mailing stuff out, customers, and taking care of customers, and you know, we think we have the best customer care in the business. You know, I talk to the people that work with me, and I say this, and this is how we look at customer care. If somebody calls you or sends you an email and they have a problem, if you buy something, if Scott, you go and you buy something, and it isn't right, and you call the place that sold it to you, how do you want to be treated? That's how I want to treat my customers. I want to treat them well. We don't really ask too many questions.
Yeah.
You know, we say, you're having a problem, what can I do to help you? What can I do to fix it?
Because
we're going to do it, because I want you to be my customer. I want you coming back next month to buy the next one.
Well, and when, you know, you're the chief cook and bottle washer, you know, that you pretty much have to run it all the time then, too. And even though you might have other people doing it, I heard somebody talking here recently on the radio about a friend of his who decided to own his own restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife was going to have a baby, but his chef, and it was a hamburger joint. I mean, it wasn't like a, you know, five-star restaurant, but his chief chef of this hamburger place apparently got ill, and so he had to go and fill in because he didn't have anybody else. It's his business. He can't close for lunch when people are, you know, downtown in Houston are trying to get the hamburger, even though his son is being born at the same time. I mean, how do you choose between, you know, your business, which could crater, you know, which you're paying, using that money to pay for, mm-hmm. you know, the child that's being born, but miss the most important moment in your life? I mean, it's just tough choices when you own your own business like that.
Yeah, that sure, it sure is. But my kids are growing. I'm dedicated to this thing. We're dedicated. Listen, I'm telling you, if this webpage, this Real Magic streaming thing is the best deal that's ever been in Magic. There's 100 hours of content. I mean, there's 100 tricks.
Yeah.
100 tricks for $5.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this is a real thing. And it's going to get better and better and better because we're dedicated to it.
Yeah.
You know, I've got time. I'm dedicated. This is what I'm doing now. I think at one point I was one of the best street magicians in the world.
Yeah.
And I think I still could be, but I'm doing something a little different now.
And you have a passion for this too.
And this is fun. And I'm challenged by this whole streaming thing and make it great. And, you know,
so where do you see yourself 10 years from now? I mean, you're 56.
It's for sale.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm 56. I'm going to be 66 and hopefully, you know, loving magic, you know.
Yeah.
I really love magic and I love great magic. And
you liking this convention?
I think that Josh and Andy have done a great job in saving this thing. And I think everybody that's here is having a great time. The dealer room has been packed every day, all day.
Yeah.
That's unusual.
So you can't get through there sometimes.
Yeah, you can't get through there. I think it's just great. And I congratulate them for doing such a great job. Of course, Josh Jay and Andy Gladwin, you would think they would do a great job because
sure.
That's who they are, the character guys. But they saved it. You know, this has been around for, 80, 90 years, something like this. The convention's been around.
Yeah.
I'm glad they stepped in and saved it. And,
right.
You know, I look forward to helping them in the future. I mean, they deserve a big round of applause. So.
Did they kind of call on you and say, hey, or did you call them and say, hey, I'd like to be a part of this? Or
no, I'm just here, but I let them know that I'll do anything for them. And
yeah.
I've watched this. I think I can help them do some stuff maybe a little bit better next year, but they've done a great job.
I think they have certainly taken it in a different direction. They have a good mix of people. I mean, I see, you know, it used to be the median age at a lot of conventions that I have seen might be dead. You know, I mean, there are
dead.
A lot of old people.
Yeah.
That's, including myself. I'm, you know, in that group.
Yeah.
But as I'm looking down the hallway, I've got to say the median age is closer to, as I'm looking right down there, maybe 30, you know.
That's what I said to Josh. There's young people here. I was standing next to Mark Mason. Look at Mark. There's young people at this convention.
That's awesome.
You know, there's people jamming. This is a great convention now. They've turned this into a great convention. A convention that was dying, they gave it new blood, turned it into something special.
You know, as I was watching this kind of TED Talk thing this afternoon, which was, again, very interesting, I was thinking about MagicCon, you know, the Dave Buck had put
on,
which is out in California, thinking they're bringing MagicCon to the Midwest, to Ohio. You
know? Yeah.
And so now this area is seeing something that and a lot of older guys, us, myself, you know, are seeing things that is the direction I think that this will be going. I mean, because we can look at the vitality, look at the excitement that's here, you know. Hopefully other conventions will take heart in this as well.
I think it's rocking.
Yep.
It's great.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Appreciate your time. Real Magic, that's REEL magic.com.
Real Magic Magazine.
Magazine. Real Magic, there you go.
Yep. Or you can call me, email me. I need money. I got 13 kids in 11 states. Seems like there's more all the time.
There we go. Thanks a lot. Scotty out. All right, well, the evening show is over, and so now we're in the lobby, and everybody's kind of talking about the show and everything that they enjoyed. And you were actually on stage. You were one of the stars here then this evening, one of the volunteers giving the audience. Your name is?
Andrea.
And what did you do? What did you think was cool?
What did I think was cool about this whole show?
Yeah.
Everything. Everything. The guy with the balls in his fingers, I forget his name. I'm sorry, I'm terrible.
Oh, Peter Pitchford.
Yes, Peter Pitchford. That was fabulous. I mean, everything was just phenomenal.
I want to get some reactions from the young people also. What do you guys think? What's your name?
Well, Joe Monica. And I was really confused about the ring thing. Like, I don't see.
Explain the ring thing. Because, people on the radio don't know what they're talking about here.
Well, he took a woman off the stage with a couple of rings on her fingers. And she put it in a cloth. And he flew the cloth and it disappeared.
Yep.
And she went over and he used a gumball machine and she put a quarter in and she took it out and it was an eraser and she did it a couple times and her ring came in there and it like magically flew across the floor.
Into the gumball machine.
Yeah.
That's totally awesome or what?
I've never seen anything like
it. It's impossible.
And the floating chair thing that was also cool. I didn't get that. The floating tables.
What about you? What do you think was cool? What did you like?
Well, I'm Ben, and I really liked how that English man swallowed the balloon. And he came back with a poodle.
Yeah, it's hard to explain.
I'm still trying to figure out where that balloon went.
Did he actually swallow it?
No, I can't hear you.
Apparently.
It's not healthy, is it?
But it was fun.
That's right. So, what about you? Mother, what do you
do? My name's Wendy, and I thought the whole show was great. I felt like there were, from the announcer, he was very funny from the get-go to, of course, Andrea, my cousin, being in the show was really a great trick with her ring. And, you know, the gentleman, Justin, that did the...
Justin Plum and Justin Willman. The last one or the second one?
First one.
Okay, first Justin.
He did the whole card tricks with the numbers that were to music, and kept pulling out the numbers of to the songs 9 to 5 and 8675309 and
3 minus 4 is 0.
3 minus 4. He was great. So all the acts were really funny.
So have you guys been to magic shows before, or this
just one other one with these
Ohio
guys last
theater.
Year?
We've
last
been
year?
What? How many times? 5 years, honey.
Yeah, we had gone like maybe 4 or 5 years for 4 or 5 years. We just saw the stage show only.
Yeah.
And I was fortunate enough to get a ticket to the convention. Uh-huh. This is my first time I went to the convention, thanks to my wife. She got me a ticket for a Christmas present.
Very cool.
So I had always gone to the stage shows, and then we invited these guys the previous year, and then we invited them this year to see the show.
Right.
Now it's tradition.
Tradition. There we
yeah,
go.
Yeah, the convention is terrific, and I'm really glad that the guys from California decided to keep this tradition alive, because they had this thing going for 83 years.
Yeah.
And it was really a shame to just, for you know, just say it, that's it, you know.
But now the last 83 years, this is your first time that you've actually attended the convention today.
The convention, yes, convention, but so, I had seen the stage shows
yeah.
for like 5 years.
Right.
But I, you know, this is the first year I went to the convention. Absolutely awesome convention. It was fantastic.
You're
gonna I love
start coming
it.
Back.
Yes. Yes.
So
as long as she's paying for the ticket, I'll come back.
Maybe well, I should get to know you better. Than
now I know what to get him for Christmas.
That's right. You're the only one I haven't yet talked with. Your name?
My name is John.
And?
I love the levitation. I don't know how they do it. It gets me every time.
Yeah. Favorite part. That was a way to end the show,
part.
I guess.
Yeah. It was really cool.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. Well, listen, I'm glad you guys very much helped with this. Thank you for your reactions over there. Hope to see you then back
thank
next
you.
Year then, too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks. Say it again.
This is probably the best magic show I've ever gone to.
Awesome.
Right.
What more can you say? Thanks very much. All right, as we're kind of moving around through over here, we're kind of getting a few more reactions, folks. So your name and what do you think?
Ed Barris. I thought it was good. Real good.
And what was the standout? What was the highlight for you? For the show, let's say, first of all, then we'll work about the convention. Then.
For the show, it was tough to pick one. John Archer was fantastic.
Yeah.
And the... The show is just good. And the convention, I'm glad it's back up and running again.
I'm going to continue.
Yes.
It's Tony Weiland is a longtime convention goer here. I thought the convention was great. It's glad to be back. I thought Justin Plum was great. I really hadn't had a chance to know him much or see him much. I love some of the things he's doing. I love the direction he's taking things. And it's great to see the youth here.
Yeah.
See a lot more young people. That makes sure we're not going to die off as an art. But I thought it was a good job. Congratulations the organizers, to Josh and John.
No, Andy Gladwin.
Andy, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Andy.
No.
It was great. You know, great dealers here. Could have used a little more space there, but it was a great dealer room.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Carol.
Oh, it was fantastic. I said it was...
Carol Baker.
Carol Baker, yeah. I thought it was fantastic from start to finish. They had a great lineup, and I can't wait to see what's in store next year. So.
Jake Weiland, I had a great time this year. It's probably my third convention I've been here. You know, the convention was great. It seemed see nice lectures and a great show tonight. I got to see a few great acts and see how I can improve my actual overall magic experience.
Yeah, isn't Danny DeOrtiz kind of awesome? I mean, you're like, did you hear his lecture today?
I did not.
He's coming to the ring in a month. So.
Is he? Okay. He's going to be doing a little tour around. That's great. One of the things I thought was interesting is that they didn't have a contest, you know, which I think is interesting because I think is noticing that there haven't been as many contestants at magic conventions as there used to be. It seems like they're getting fewer and fewer, so I guess they might as well kill it. I mean, why have them?
I think they're going to bring it back next year. I heard some talk, and I think they may be bringing that back next year.
What's the first reason you came to this convention, Jake?
I competed.
Really?
Yeah, I competed as a junior magician about 7 years ago.
So you do want to come back. You're going to compete again?
I want to compete again.
There you go. Well, cool. Very good. Thank you guys very much. I appreciate your feedback. We'll move on down over here. All right. Well, as we're kind of walking around, of course, we're having a pizza party over here and at the bar open also, and a few of the dealers are still left open. And one of the stars of the evening show that you heard some of the people talking about over here earlier, one of their favorites, Justin Fong.
Hey, how's it going?
It's exciting. Now, I have not seen you at this convention. I've attended this a few times in the past. I assume this is your first Magi Fest?
My very first Magi Fest, but I've heard about it for years.
What about other conventions? Have you attended other Magic? I mean, I don't see you. I go to a lot, but I don't see you.
I did IBM this year. That was a first.
In Norfolk,
In Norfolk, yeah. And I like Magic Live in Las Vegas. I live in Las Vegas, so I'm able to see the conventions that come through town.
Sure.
The Seminar or IMAX or Magic Live or any of those, it's great to be able to hang out with people out there. Really nice of Josh and Andy, who saw me at the session in England. To bring me up for this.
I thought that was just a tremendous way of bringing you on when you did that TED Talk, you know, yesterday, I think it was, when they were talking about the session, saying that, you know, when Chris Kenner said, who do you think is going to be the next David Copperfield? And they said, Justin Flom. And as I was watching you, I can see a style that you've got. But I've got to say,
Chris may have been intoxicated when he said that. I don't know if he'd stand by those words today.
Well, I would say this, that you're not going to be a second David Copperfield. You'll be the first Justin Flom.
I appreciate that. You know, that is exactly what I'm trying to be.
And you are. I'd like that, and Justin Willman, and also, I'm doing a podcast, and you can join us over here. Scott Wells.
It's
very good to see you, buddy. Yes.
Both Justins here.
That's right. And that was what was funny. I was talking with people around here saying, what did you think of the show? And they say, well, Justin, and I said, wait a minute, there are two Justins. They said, the first Justin, you know, he did this thing. But both of them, everybody was saying, you know, like the levitation. Said, oh, I don't know how they do the, you know, the
that was a surprise.
Tables and everything.
That was a surprise to us. How did you think of the table thing?
Well, I thought it's a magic convention, so Justin, it'd be great if we did something together.
Yeah.
And I know that we both do the floating table in our acts, so we're like, well, we can't just do the floating table, but if we do dueling floating tables, that might be a thing.
Right.
And we did it.
Dueling banjos.
Banjos, yes.
But I think we were surprised to see that most people in the audience weren't in on the joke. They were watching the trick like they had seen it for the first time.
Well, there were a lot of laymen here tonight. You know?
Exactly.
So that was a nice surprise.
So it worked on multiple levels.
Yeah. It was a neat thing.
It was very good. Now, this is your first time here also, Justin Willman.
At the Magi Fest?
Yeah.
Well, I was here actually 17 years ago, and I competed, and Josh Jay and I both, I won junior stage, he won junior close-up. And then I hadn't been back since.
That's amazing.
You won it, and you took off.
I was taller than him then, by the way.
Then you kind of decided to stop, and he kept going.
He's still going.
He's still getting taller.
Yeah.
Now, Justin Flom, boy, how do I do this? Flom, no, you, and Willman, that you live in Vegas, and you live where then?
L.A.
Oh, you're in L.A.
Uh-huh.
So you've got West then as well.
Exactly.
And
it's warmer than what it is right now.
That's what my
outside.
Wife says. She's anxious to get back to Houston, you know, that a little bit of snow goes a long way.
That's right.
You know. So you get a lot of magicians coming through Vegas all the time. Mm-hmm. You have some opportunities then for television, which you've taken advantage of, obviously, mm-hmm. of doing a lot of things then. What were you doing on Cupcake Wars? Were you like a guest?
I'm the host.
You're the host of that. Okay.
Yes, host of it.
Okay. And doing some stuff then on Rachel Ray still? Or?
Rachel Ray. No, that was several years ago, but that was a great training ground just in terms of being a host. And then that kind of parlayed itself into Cupcake Wars, and we've done that for 8 seasons now.
On Rachel Ray, you were doing interviews and stuff. Just like you're doing now on
Cupcake
Wars.
That's what I kind of remember. One of the first times seeing that in which you had, you know, had had like a pizza with an Ace of Spades or something.
Exactly, exactly.
And he was just on The Tonight Show.
Now, that one I missed over there with Jay Leno.
Jay Leno.
He didn't have a guest host. It was him that was...
It was him. Jay does not have guest hosts.
Magicians. Yes, true. But he doesn't... how did he treat you as a magician? Did he have respect?
He was awesome. He came back several times before the show and just chatted and small talked. He was very sweet.
I feel like these days, the magic is starting to shed its uncoolness because we're all doing really new, innovative stuff. It's really fun to see the direction that magic's going. So I think guys like Jay Leno, even Letterman, kind of see that.
What direction do you think that it is actually going? Then, I mean, as far as like with the, only putting words in your mouth, but what do you think?
I think it's fast-paced. I think it's eye-popping. Visual. I mean, we've had visual magic before, but the close-up magic specifically that I'm seeing created by the guys in Las Vegas are just, it's so eye-poppingly visual, it's like eye candy. Would you agree, Justin?
I'd agree. I also think it's more relatable. I think it's
organic
and relatable, so people kind of feel like these magicians are just, you know, an ordinary guy who can do some cool things, as opposed to a character that is so intense and creepy, or you've got to be one of them.
Right. Well, now you were talking also then in your lecture a little bit about the, or I guess actually on the TED Talk, about creating content.
Yeah.
And the important thing on content, it seemed to be, you know, visual, quick, and, you know, moving on to the next thing, which is kind of what I hear you guys saying, is it doesn't need to be just that, fast and visual, because we have a...
It's not so much fast, it's that, we're not ADD, it's just, we've gotten better content, so we would sit through a Leave It to Beaver if it was all good content throughout, but I think that I just think that our tastes have elevated and we have so much options, that's why it feels like we have ADD. Does that make sense?
It does, and also that, like you had said, that we have short attention spans, you know, it seems like in right now,
right?
Because of tweeting, because of reality shows and everything.
That's maybe true. What I think, it's not so much short attention spans. I think there's such a vast amount of quality material that you don't have to stay watching crap for a while. You can switch over and see something else. So it appears to be short attention spans.
Right.
Really, it's just we have quality choices.
Well, when you're like with Cupcake Wars, how do you feel that you're trying to keep people's attention all the time? I mean, how can you keep them focused? I mean, there are certain things I know. I've watched the show, and I know what you mean, but it's not like a reality show.
Right.
How do you try to capture the viewer's attention? I mean, after 8 seasons, you've got a formula, obviously.
Yeah, you know, I think what people tune in to see with that show is the crazy ingredients that we make them bake with, you know, and how they'll pull that off. My job is really kind of as a traffic cop, just to kind of get out of the way and let the show happen and let people's personalities come out. So I really, just like any good MC on any show, it's just to let the stars shine, you know, and you're just there to kind of carry the pace.
Right.
Yeah.
I like that.
And so, where do you, can you talk about, you know, the future of magic and like with the kids, and that now you had competed, and I noticed there was no competition here, you know, this year, and I was talking with someone earlier, and they're saying that maybe they might be changing that again next year. Do you think that that is something that you would encourage? I mean, as far as youth getting involved with competitions?
I'd encourage any opportunity for a kid to get up on stage and perform.
And perform anywhere you can, as often as you can.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I remember when I, you know, would compete, the deadline of a contest, giving you a deadline to have your act hone does amazing things. I'm a procrastinator, so I'll put things off to the last minute, but I know when you're a kid and you're looking at that Magi Fest on the calendar and you're seeing it months ahead, it's motivation and drive to practice and get your stuff together, and I think it's great.
Well, going along with that, then, let me ask each of you individually here what you would give as advice to young people. I mean, obviously, you said, you know, get out, perform whenever and wherever you can. But beyond that, kind of what advice would you say for someone?
Learn as much as possible, because it's all going to be used. You're going to do everything.
Well, where's the best place to learn? Would you encourage to watch the content like you're putting out on YouTube and that kind of thing?
YouTube is amazing. I wish I would have had YouTube growing up. But also to go back in time and look at the books and the
DVDs and all this, because if you just look on YouTube, there's an inbreeding that's happening.
I see.
We're all watching the same stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, and look to other art forms as well. Justin is really good at looking at comedy and television personalities. I try to look to movies or music. It's all sorts of different things to inspire.
Right. And Justin, then what would you say? What would be your advice? And
I was going to say that everything I do skill-wise is something I learned when I was 14 or 15 years old. It's really hard to learn new stuff after that.
Just
so all the card moves, just the sleights mostly, sleights and everything like that. Like I do, all I know is stuff that I learned probably before I was 16 years old. And then after that, I just didn't have the capacity to sit down and practice and learn stuff. So cram as much learning as you can, like Justin said, into these young formative years when you can pick stuff up right away, because it'll come in handy later.
Let me ask you a different question. How did you become comfortable behind the camera?
In front of the camera.
Practice doing it. I mean, the Rachel Ray Show, being forced to kind of have those nerve-wracking moments and overcome them over and over again makes it less and less nerve-wracking as it goes on.
You know, magicians talk about, you know, finding some place to be bad, you know, working in a church basement or a Blue Gold banquet or whatever kind of a thing. I mean, there's not like a TV show you can be bad, because then everybody's going to see it. That's right.
Yeah.
Local access.
I did the college circuit for years, and that was kind of where I was able to hone my chops and pay my dues and suck occasionally.
You were in Branson for how long? 18
that's where,
months
that's where
or
I
so,
sucked.
Or?
I was in Branson for 5 years.
5 years? Team, I didn't know it was that long.
Isn't that amazing?
It was a great little theater, I thought, then, too, that you had over there. It was a lot of fun. It's a nice, tight stage. You stayed the same place all the time, all 5 years?
Two different places. We started at the Branson Mall Music Theater, then built the Imaginary Theater.
And why did you move? It felt like
we lost all of our money.
Oh, man. So you probably went on longer than you should have, even if you...
No, we ended before
we started losing money.
Before it got really bad. No, but, I mean, it was a great learning experience and a great place to suck.
Well, it was a different experience. I know in Branson, I've seen, you got a different audience, and the Branson audience, to my way of thinking, is not a hip audience, you know.
They're getting hipper.
Are they?
What you say is exactly right.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, thank you guys very much. One last thing. The name of my podcast is called The Magic Word. Let me ask each of you again, what would be your magic word? Not necessarily like abracadabra or something. It may or may not be something you would use on stage, but perhaps a credo, something that would be it could even be, you know, a sentence or something that you live by, you know.
Well, I would say love, because I love, Justin made a good point in his lecture the other day, figuring out who you are as a performer and the things that really make you happy and incorporating that into your work. Magic makes me happy, and there's certain aspects of my life that I love, and I feel like we as performers get to make a living doing what we love to do, and never forget that. I mean, I think that's the most important thing, is to really be true to what you love doing.
And love. I love
love.
And I would say make love. No, I'm kidding. I would say keep moving. That's my mantra. Keep moving. Whatever you do, just keep moving.
I like that. Just keep moving on there. Well,
thank you, Scott.
Thanks again very much.
Thank you,
appreciate it very much. Take care.
Thanks
for now.
Thanks, Scott.
Good work. All right, and now I am here with Simon Aronson and Jenny. I don't know if I should in that order. Should be Jenny and Simon.
I'm just her assistant.
That's right. You're just a tool. That's right.
Right.
And it was a wonderful job, of course. Now, how long have you guys been doing the mind reading, Jenny?
It's about 42 years.
42 years. Okay. And you just come back from England, and you were doing it over there for...
Right.
You're doing a TV show or something?
No, Josh and Andy run a small convention, a session.
Sure.
And we did that. That's more of a close-up convention, but we did two shows there, and it went over extremely well. As a matter of fact, they were so energetic when we were asking them to hold up anything they had around them.
Yeah.
One group of people held up a person.
Wow.
And Jenny got it.
And you got it?
I got it.
Oh, my gosh. That is certainly different. Now, I'll ask you the obvious question that everyone else always asks. What is the most unusual thing
that you've ever had? Was that it, perhaps a person? Or?
Oh, sometimes there's... It's hard to compare. I remember one of our shows in Magic Chicago, somebody held up something that we had never seen before or even contemplated, and it was a tuning fork.
That'd be different. Yeah.
But Jenny got it. after some... You know, some hesitation, she was able to manage it out.
I think I called it a musical fork.
A musical cord?
Fork.
Mm-hmm.
Like that?
Close enough.
They get the idea what that was supposed to be.
Right.
Now, you developed that again, you say, like 42 years, and did you knew Tommy Tucker way back when? Or
I've seen the Tucker's Act and a few others. My inspiration for developing the act was in 1965, actually precedes Jenny by 5 years. Mm-hmm. And that was by seeing mainly Eddie Fields and then George Marx do it. And very, very different act because they were doing a horoscope pitch in a 5 and 10 cent store.
In Chicago.
In Chicago.
Yeah,
that was their business.
Yeah,
they sold horoscopes and used the two-person act as a way of convincing people that Professor Marx knew what he was doing.
Yeah, yes. Because I was thinking that Jeff and Tessa Everson, you know, had been inspired, I think, by Eddie.
They were more by the
more
Tuckers.
By Tommy? Okay.
By the Tuckers,
okay.
Yes. They're the Tuckers mentored them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And there are not a lot of people in the world who are doing what you're doing.
As a matter of fact, when we were at a convention, I guess it was at one of the FISMs, we wound up where all of a sudden 4 different two-person acts were in, and we had our own little mini convention together. And I would say 2 from the United States and 2 from other countries. So that was kind of a neat get-together.
We never have anybody really to talk to about the two-person mind-reading act. So
that's funny.
It was like a party for all of us.
Kind of reminded a little bit, you know, of, you know, Vic and Mary Kirk. Remember Vic Kirk? Does that name ring a bell?
No.
He's from California. Wonderful guy. He was kind of like an underground Johnny Thompson. I mean, he's a guy who knew everything about everything. And he worked at Magic Island with us in Houston a lot. And it was kind of funny, you know, that we'd be eating dinner or something, and as he would talk, you know, then his wife would be calling out things. He would just be in general conversation. She'd say a comb, a fork, you know, while she was eating. Anyhow, it was just kind of funny. Now, do you love this, doing the two-person mind-reading act, more than cards? I mean, or is it kind of they're equal passions?
Cannot compare them, I think.
No, it's like choosing children, I guess.
Well, no, it's not that even... the cards, I think I'm much more of a hobbyist, but an avid... I'm a creator and inventor. Mm-hmm. I'm a writer. I do it far more often. The two-person mind-reading act gives me a chance to perform. It's really the only kind of performing that I do, that we do together, and it's something that plays to a much larger room. Close-up, you know, has certain limitations.
Sure.
But we can do a room of 200, 300 if we need to. The ideal room is probably for us about 150 because we want to really try
get
to get everybody in there.
As you can.
Right.
Yeah, well, you know, I love the impromptu thing. So, certainly, you know, like a couple years ago at Magic Live, I was in the hallway whenever you guys started something. It was an incredible moment for me, you know, to see something just impromptu, just kind of off the cuff. You know?
Well,
you can imagine how I love those because I close my eyes to do it for 2 or 3 people. When I open my eyes, they're 80.
Yeah. It's like, where do these people come from? Yeah.
And it is truly impromptu because I always say that with close-up, I need a deck of cards, and for mind-reading, I need a wife, preferably my own.
My own, yeah. Now, have you guys ever worked cruise ships, or do you think that might be something that
we've turned them down. We've been offered it.
Room's too large?
No, it's a wonderful opportunity. It's just that on cruise ships, the entertainment is asked to not only be there for the show, but also perform for everybody else when you're seeing them and doing tricks and things like that.
That's true.
And when we vacation, we want to be able to vacation and be left alone.
Yeah,
so
when you're on the stage, you do the stage. When you're off, you're off.
Right. Yeah. We don't want to have the next 7 days where people are coming up to us and say, can you do something?
Right.
With mind reading,
in
they
particular.
Always do. Yeah, in
sure.
particular.
I remember talking with... Francis Willard's husband, Gene.
Falkenstein.
Falkenstein, yeah, I was talking to Gene Falkenstein. First time I saw him at the Magic Castle, he was doing his blindfold act and, you know, whatever. And people were lying. He said, okay, I will, you know, answer questions. And people lined up. And, you know, he said, I can't tell you who's going to win the Super Bowl or anything like that, you know. But, I mean, it's like, okay, I know you're going to ask anyhow, so you may as well line up and I'll just answer what I can. Just do a quick cold read, you know, like a 60-second thing for people to kind of go through.
We go nowhere near that. We go nowhere. The times that people have come up and asked us that, we swear off it completely and explain we are solely entertainers.
That's the way to do it. I think that's good. It's like, hey, don't bother me. It's kind of like a celebrity, I think, you know, at dinner, being bothered by people who would come over and want to ask for your autograph. And, you know, I think that they would see you and say, hey, you know, what do I got in my pocket, you know? It's hard. So what are some of the weird questions then like that? I mean, or uncomfortable situations where you had to turn people away?
Well, I think, you know, people have not so much questions that you'd want to. At one point, back in the 70s, a woman came up to Ginny and said emotionally, she explained that her son was missing in action and could in Vietnam and wanted to know Ginny tell her whether she was still alive. And that's where we have totally say we are totally entertainers.
Concentrate on concrete objects.
Yeah, things that are in front of us right now.
That's all we do, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
The one funny thing that people always speculate about, how do we do this?
Yeah.
And the best answer that we've ever been given, or at least it is from my point of view, is that I'm a master ventriloquist and she's a dummy.
What'd you say, a ventriloquist figure rather than a dummy? Well, I tell you what, in conclusion, I'll let you guys kind of move on, but, you know, the name of my podcast is called The Magic Word, so I'm going to ask each of you, what is your magic word? Not necessarily like, you know, abracadabra or something, but maybe a credo, you know, a philosophy you live by, you know, something come to mind?
Sure, Mergelfunsky.
I've heard
Mergelfunsky.
Same, yeah, why not? Thank you guys very much.
Right.
Appreciate it. Loved it. Thanks, Simon.
Right.
Thanks, Jenny. Okay, move on. Yep, Scott. Yep. Convention then, too. All right, well, as we continue on, just finished talking with Simon Arison and Jenny, and now just another convention registrant, John?
John Wirth.
And what did you think of the show here for this evening, by the way?
Oh, I thought it was fantastic. Top of the line.
And what was something that really stuck out for the show for tonight?
Justin Williamson.
Yep, Justin Williamson was great. And what did he do in his part of the show that kind of knocked you out?
Oh, yeah. His prediction that he did
from the audience?
Yes. Yeah, that was great.
It was pretty cool. Now, this isn't your first Magi Fest, is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is? Well, tell me about it. What do you like about this? What do you get
fantastic.
Out of it?
All the great performers.
Yep.
And all the great jam sessions. It was fantastic.
Now, are you learning more in the jam sessions or in the lectures or what?
Yeah.
Did you get to spend money in the dealer's room?
Oh, yeah. You know it. You know it.
That's why you haven't got a shirt. lost your shirt off your back after paying for all the stuff in there then, too.
That's right.
So you're going to come back then next year, I guess?
Oh, for sure, yes. Most definitely. Most definitely.
Good. Thank you. I'm glad that you came,
John.
Thanks for being part of this. Okay. See you in the future. And then one of the other guys who was on the show this evening, Peter Pitchford. Peter. Hey. Scott Wells for the magic word right here. We haven't had a chance ever to meet or to talk, I don't think. But this is, I've got a podcast called The Magic Word, and so it's just about magicians and magic and conventions. What I do is each day is I kind of update daily what's happening with the conventions. So this gives everybody an opportunity to kind of feel as if that they are here, even though they can't get sessioning like John and others was talking about. So I want to talk with you a little bit. This was your first Magi Fest, or?
Actually, I was here, probably 5 years ago.
Yes. Okay.
I think it was 6 years ago. I won a contest here, and then so the next year they had me perform the headliner show. Yeah. It was a while back.
Did you do the Cardini act then, or?
Yes, but it wasn't as advanced as it is now. It's always in progress, but it's come a long way since then.
Now, I want to talk with you about a couple of things. One has to do with the Cardini, and also with what you were talking about, like in the TED Talk here this afternoon a little bit. But first of all, how did you get interested? Let me just say, first of all, what you're doing is kind of an homage to Richard Pitchford, to Cardini, then this evening. When did you first get interested in Cardini?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I've always been interested in him as long as
just
I can
because
remember.
Of the name?
Because of what he did. did. He was a consummate actor, and his act did more than stand in one place and produce cards. Magic was happening to him, and he was a victim. But at times, he could turn that around, and he could become in complete control, only to lose it another second later. And so, to me, that was it was a thing of beauty. I felt like I was a part of the act just watching it. You know, he brought you into the act, and so I wanted to do the same thing.
So you're going to do that with your audience, just try to suck them in a little bit to kind of feel like that you've lost control, but hey, you do have it.
Yeah.
Was that kind of why that you have like the janitor theme kind of thing? That
Yeah, I'm cleaning up in a magic museum, and I come across Cardini's display, and so when I put his gloves on, Cardini's magic kind of transfers over to me.
Yeah.
And so, in essence, the act says Cardini lives on through us magicians.
Right. Now, the woman that he uses, Paige? Swan. And that's your wife, I assume, is helping you? Her name wouldn't be...
Karen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's got vowels in it, like an A for Swan.
Yeah.
And an A in Karen. And so, is that something that you kind of see yourself continuing to do and refine? You find new ideas that you kind of add to this, or is this kind of a basic act you've had and taken around?
I perform regularly at Monday Night Magic in Manhattan, and that's a very good venue for me to continue to polish this.
Sure.
and implement new ideas and stuff. Because as far as stage work goes, I'm only working stage once or twice a month. The rest of my income comes from close-up and stand-up. So anywhere I can find to do this act, I'm doing it because I love it so much. And I've invested so much of my life into it. I'm constantly tweaking it, constantly trying to make it better.
Well, you'd mentioned Montana. I was thinking that you actually still lived in Montana, but you're in the city now?
Philadelphia.
Oh, okay, so you're not so far. Yeah, with Philly.
No, not super far.
Now, isn't there a Grasso Theater, I think, in Philadelphia? You've worked at from time to time?
Yes, I've worked Grasso's a number of times. And there's also South Street Magic, which is a small theater. I can't do the Cardini act there because it's
too small.
It's too small, wow. But I could do my stand-up show. The theater's like 40 seats, so it's almost like a formal close-up or a parlor, you know, that kind of thing, that kind of feel, atmosphere.
So do you see your character? I see your character as almost being like a Dilbert, office geek kind of a guy in a way.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe Drew Carey or something kind of that. Is that something that was in your development of the show?
Yo, actually, my character comes from Peter Parker.
Oh, yeah.
He's the nerdy half of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then the other half, I would like to say Cardini, who is the suave deceiver. So at times, I'm totally nerdy, tripping on my own 2 feet. But then at times, I'm debonair and I can do the most amazing things. But nobody knows when, what's going to happen. So kind of, it's a nice tension in my stand-up show. It's a nice tension.
Now, one of the things going over to the TED Talk that you were discussing had to do with branding. Mm-hmm. And that you said that you make sure to mention your name several times, and you have a tie that's painted on your shirt that you use. Talk a little bit about that.
Okay. My brand is a tie that's painted on my shirt, or we could just say a tie with a name tag next to it with my name on it. So during my act, I write my name on the name tag. I'm doing card manipulations by producing hundreds of name tags so that they're constantly seeing my name. They're constantly seeing the brand. After the show's over, they've seen my name hundreds of times. Everybody knows who I am. They recognize the tie immediately. I have clients buy my shirts from my website because they love them so much, and I'm fine because it's just furthering my brand.
Sure. And you got that on all of your stationery website, your business cards, or whatever.
My business cards, on my stationery, it's all there.
What is your website, by the way?
It's www.magicbymanipulation.com.
Magicbymanipulation.com.
That's correct.
Do you prefer really manipulation? I mean, is that your true passion? You'd rather be doing that all the time? I mean, you do the stuff for us to pay the bills. You said for six kids.
Yeah. Well, 4 kids. There's 6 of us total.
Yeah.
One on the way. Soon to be 5 kids.
Congratulations.
Not that soon, but.
Oh, you're still working on it? You don't know
months,
for sure yet.
Eight months.
Gotta get back to the room and work on this.
Yeah, right. My passion is manipulation, and I've got some great stuff coming up. I'm working on some manipulation instant downloads, which I'm really excited about. Some innovative manipulations with billiard balls that nobody's seen before. And my DVD's coming out, which is close-up manipulation and stand-up manipulation, not stage manipulation. So it's appropriate to do in close-up settings. And
like in restaurant setting even?
Yes. And the manipulation's with pens and coins and my ring. So I work a lot of parties where there's a DJ with real loud music.
Right.
And you can't pull out your poem. You can't pull out your patter, your jokes, because it's so loud. And if I'm working clubs, too, it's so loud. I can only do strong visual magic. So I bust out manipulation with my ring or pens and just blow people away without saying a word.
Interesting. Now, obviously, Philadelphia is a large city, and you're near New York. I mean, do you plan on moving, or you think that that is just a good place? I mean, or do you use that as your base of operations? I guess you go wherever, but do you have plan to ever move there from there? Or
if I move, I'd probably have to start all over again. And when I was by myself, I was okay eating ramen noodles and Eggo waffles, but now that I got a family to take care of, I can't see moving without changing careers,
right?
Because I couldn't start all over again. It would
because
be
you have so many contacts, everything, where you are.
Tri-state area, yes. That's where I'm working, and my clientele base is pretty much there.
So that's your base. I mean, obviously, you'd like to work outside that. I mean, have you done much outside the country or the area?
Outside the country, no. And really, I'm trying to break into the convention scene, but it's hard because unless your name's Michael Amar or, you know, some of these other big names, or Josh J or whatever, they won't even look at my act on a DVD. And I've even talked to guys, why won't you even look at my ass? Because we never heard of you. Well, it won't hurt to... But I feel like what Josh did here is he brought fresh blood in. Justin Flom, Justin Willman, myself. He brought lots of... Eric Jones is a fresh guy. Fresh faces, I think, will energize Magic Convention. And we saw that here this weekend.
Yeah.
The young crowd came out to see us. Young guns, you know, come out and bring what we have in. And I think more convention bookers should look at fresh talent. At least consider us if, you know, I've never been on Cupcake Wars or something, so it's really hard for me to even get someone to look at my act.
Right. You know. What do you do, or how would you promote yourself then to getting to do more conventions and getting your name out there? Through the DVDs and the different things you're doing? You're doing lectures? Or
yeah, I do lectures, yes. And really, to break into the magic world, you have to publish. Otherwise, they'll know you if you have a DVD, and they'll, does this. But until recently, I've only worked for lay people. And I mean, that's a great way to make a living, because you can't make a living working for magicians. But I enjoy it. I like meeting new people, and to me, this is a fun weekend, and I'm working, so it's the best of both worlds.
It's a win-win.
Yeah, of course. And so what I normally do is I send out press packets to the convention bookers. I find out who they are, and yeah, most of them are just like, nah, we don't know you. But hopefully this helped.
Yeah,
you know, get my name, get a buzz. Hopefully that'll change when my DVD comes out next month.
So. Very good show. I thought you did a very good job, and it went very well with the whole rest of the evening and the show that with his silent partner. Not a lot of people who are doing good silent, solid silent show acts. And yours is what, 12 minutes, 14 minutes?
It's about 10.
10 minutes, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking it was pretty tight, you know, and short in there. A lot of equipment, that you kind of bring, I say a lot, I mean with a large frame, you know, and then the rest of the stuff. It looked like you had the family kind of, you know, helping to load out. So. Well, Peter, thank you very much. One last question. Since my podcast is called The Magic Word, let me ask you what your magic word is. That doesn't mean like presto, or it could be just like, what is your credo? What do you live by? What is your...
A bit of wisdom, maybe? Oh, boy, I wasn't prepared for that. I don't want to have dead time on your interview, so let me kind of see if I got something.
As you're thinking about that, let me ask you if you have any advice for other young people who are wanting to do what you do, you know, and make a career out of it and feed a family of six, one away.
Get a marketing degree in college.
Stay in school.
Yeah, I didn't get a marketing degree. My degree's in theology. I have a bachelor's and a master's in theology, and it has enriched me as a person. But it hasn't helped me market. So I'm feeling this. I'm stumbling around. So get a marketing degree with a minor in theater and practice 2 hours a day, every day, and don't skimp.
That's awfully good advice. And that's some hard advice, too. It's easy just to say, read it, you know, and watch other people and read this or that. But that's very specific information. So have you thought of a word?
a word. Charlie Fry is a, I consider him a mentor. And he said, when I'm not working, I'm practicing. So sometimes I don't work much, so I practice a lot. Yeah, absolutely. Just, he said, a lot of people are good, but few people are great. He said, aspire to be great, but you have to put the hours in to become great. So that's it.
Not easy. Very good. Peter, thank you very much. It's a real pleasure. Thank you for joining us on The Magic Word. All right, for now, that's Scotty out. All right, well, one of the things that they did this year, which is pretty cool, is that there was a young man who won an award, a scholarship, a junior scholarship for the Magic Camp, Safari Camp, is it?
Sorcerer Safari?
Sorcerer Safari. Right. There was not one, but three, actually, who had won this year. And I've got him. Hey, could you come here just a minute? You were the one who won this year, is that right?
Yeah.
Your name is?
Braden Richards.
And how was it that you, what did you do to qualify to win?
I just started Magic, and people who were picking really liked me, so
I guess. Did you have to write, like, an essay or something?
Well, to get the scholarship where my green name tag says, I actually did have to write an essay, and about 35 people only got this, and I was one of them, so.
That is just awesome. I think that's really great to be doing that. And then with me also, then, is the director of the Magic Camp, Mike Siegel. Hey.
Hello. Hi.
So tell me great. Something about the camp, and so that way he kind of knows what he's going to be getting into.
Okay,
then also.
Well, the camp is the Sorcerer Safari. It's up in Canada. Uh-huh. 2013 is going to be our 17th summer.
Okay.
We have 120 campers, 10 to 20 years old.
Wow.
Last week of August, we go up to the middle of the forest. The campground is actually the same campground that they filmed the movie Meatballs.
Oh, I do remember that.
And, yeah, and we just go up there and do
magic.
So
it's not just tents. They got little cabins and everything.
Oh, real cabins. Yeah. We've got a dining hall. We've got swim docks. We've got a full theater. Wow. Like a full theater.
Lights.
Wings.
Yep.
Curtains. Yeah, and yeah. Curtains. The whole deal. It's a trapdoor.
And how old are you, Braden, by the way?
I'm 11 years old. I will be turning 12 when the camp starts.
And how old do you have to be when, to actually be one of the
Well, 12 is good. Our campers are 10 to 20 years old for the most part.
You've got some actually in their teens. And up in
We've got a cabin of adults. We've got 20 and up. Our oldest camper was 64.
Wow.
Our youngest camper
was
6.
Camp, campers,
well,
then.
It's because we've been running for so long, some of the kids that are now adults, yeah. They keep wanting to come back.
Sure.
So we've set up a cabin for them.
Now, so. What about the teachers and the instructors, the counselors? How do you?
The instructors are like who's who in magic. Lee Asher, Aaron Fisher, Greg Fruin, Sean Farquhar,
Eric Jones,
Danny Garcia. We had the Buck twins up there. We've had Michael Amar up there. We've had Johnny Ace Palmer. Shoma was our guest this summer.
Exciting, huh?
it's an amazing lineup, and these guys all come voluntarily.
Yeah,
that's very important.
Year
after year, they keep coming back. Sean Farquhar, for example, came up as our special guest once, and has come back with his family, with his wife Lori and daughter Hannah, and they've come. It's got to be at least 5 or 6 years now.
We're like a
family.
You would have so many people who want to do that. How do you end up selecting, saying, "Ooh, I'm sorry, we only got so much room for counselors."
You know, counselors, it is a commitment, and as I'm sure you know, you get a lot of people that say they want to, and,
sure.
and some don't follow through. We've got such a strong team up there. It's not the magic skills. It's a personality. It's a it's a fit thing, and I don't know. It's something intrinsic. You can just tell. I spend 10 minutes with somebody, and I know if they'll enjoy camp.
And then,
or not.
As far as the people who are the campers themselves, you have like a limit. I mean, that I would think at some point.
Well, the camp we rent actually holds about 600 campers.
Oh, so you could have a lot more.
Yeah, we have 120 campers. So
okay.
You know,
from all over the world or just U.S. or
no. All over the world. We have campers from Australia, England, Spain, France, Germany, you know, coast to coast Canada, coast to coast USA and Mexico.
Right. Yeah. And what do you do as far as language problems? Are there any barriers ever?
No, you know what? And magic's a kind of a universal thing.
And what about disabilities? Are people who've got
We have some fun. We don't really have wheelchair access. That's the only part. However, we get them around. It's mm-hmm. not easy, but we make it work. But we have the full gamut of kids.
And so for those who are interested, what's the website?
Website is themagiccamp.com.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good URL.
I know. Worked out very well. It's also sorcerersafari.com, but that's way harder to spell.
To spell.
Themagiccamp.com. That's
a great
the
one. And again, it's going to be the what?
Last week of August. August 27th to September 2nd, I believe.
Is there a better date to pay to before the cutoff?
Well, by April 1st, they'll save a little bit of money, and they'll get a sort of an early sign-up bonus. So if they register by April 1st, there's a package waiting for them as soon as they arrive at camp.
Awesome. And do they go on their own, or the parents go with them sometimes, the guardians?
They go on their own.
On their own.
The parents can drop them off, but the parents can't stay.
Exactly.
You know, the joke is the kids are sad twice. They're sad on the first night because they miss their parents.
Yep.
They're sad on the last night because they don't want to leave.
Yeah, because they've had so much fun.
Exactly.
And it is a 7-day, 10-day? How much?
This year, I believe it's 7 days, 6 nights.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
How fun. Mike, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
I appreciate
it.
And let me ask you, what's your magic word? The name of our podcast is called The Magic Word.
Magic word?
What is your word? Something that you're...
Believe.
That's a good one. Very good.
That's a good one.
Thanks very much.
Great.
For now, Scotty out.
All right, this is the last interview I'm going to be having for the Magi Fest here. It's about, 1:30 in the morning? So we're doing pretty good. And finally got to catch up with Andy Gladwin over here, and maybe with Joshua Jay then as well. Hey, Andy, thank you.
Hello, Scott.
Just wanted to thank you very much for putting on this convention, for you guys for saving it in a way. And let me ask, what was your biggest challenge in putting this together?
It was the best challenge to have, actually, because the biggest challenge was that we had way more people than we expected.
Yep.
We were thinking maybe 200 people because attendance had been down in previous years. Registrations went up to 350, then 450, and then on the door, you know, last night in the gala show, we had almost 700 people. So it was a big problem, but we fixed it, and it ran smoothly.
And we had a lot of people at the last minute also. I know that I had some guests here. We bought some tickets for local people that, you know, to come and see the shows, you know, for the public then as well. So you had SRO tonight. So, Josh, good job. I think, you know, even though it was kind of a... this is your first year. I don't see that you had a lot of missteps, you know.
Well, thanks. We're trying.
So you didn't have a contest this year. That's something you've had. You thinking about that in the future?
I don't think so.
Nope?
No, I can't justify losing 6 hours of programming for a competition. I think there's better use of our time. Maybe someday.
Don't shake your head. It doesn't come across on the recording.
John Archer will also never be working Magi Fest again.
Okay. Well, I wondered about that because it seems that that's one of, you know, when you guys are really trying something that are different, you know, for the direction of conventions, and that I've noticed that the conventions right now have a lot of contests, and fewer people are competing. And so it really is taking time away, as you say, from the rest of the activities. And so by doing away with it completely and substituting it with the TED Talks, I think it's just a good idea.
Well, you know, there's only one person who really wants the competition back. And fortunately, he's right here. I want to hear from George Luck why the competition should come back.
Okay, George, what do you think? For 83 years, the competition was the highlight, and I think there's no room for it to go. It just needs to come back, and Andy and Josh need to sort their act out.
Can I ask George a question? George, how many of these have you been to?
82.
82?
You lying. Boop!
And so, what kinds of things do you think you're going to change for next year?
We're doubling the price.
Yeah!
It was a bargain. What, $130 or something?
$150.
Yeah. And then daily, we're $50 if you want to come in just for the day, or $60, or what was it?
$90 for the day.
Okay.
It's a bargain.
Yeah, it wasn't such a good deal.
We made it that way on purpose. We wanted people to say 90 for a day and 150 for the whole thing.
Might as well be the whole thing.
Yeah. Can I just interrupt? I'm going to go and get shots. Who wants one?
I'll have a shot.
Shot.
Jaeger?
Yeah, Jaeger.
Why not?
Shot.
Yeah.
No.
No?
Can you get Josh a milk shot? Milk shot for Josh. Same Josh. Gag. Always the same gag with this guy. And he has two gags in his whole repertoire. One is about me drinking milk, and one is a bad American accent of me.
Hey, does anyone want a shot? Is Joshua J getting shots?
That does sound pretty good. How do you eliminate that accent?
So basically, you need to start with Kermit the Frog, and you just go from there. It's pretty accurate.
So, the problem with the balloon. Tell me about the balloon.
It's a trick I do where I get inside a balloon. It's a very weird thing.
The picture's on the blog there. So, you know,
oh, good. Yeah. Well, I hope one day that your listeners get to see it.
And the balloon is bigger, or it's a thicker wall in England. Is that the deal?
Yeah, let's move on, Scott Wells. Let's move on. Let's talk about something else.
Enough about me.
Everything's thicker in England.
You had done the session. This is the second year for the session, is that right?
No, it's the 10th year for the session, but I've been associated with it for 3 years.
I guess that's what I was thinking. Like, you know, you've just been with it for a while. Now, once again, was that something that you and Andy had actually kind of taken over from somebody else, or what?
No, Andy founded that one, and I came on board 3 years ago, and we've sort of been perfecting our convention running skills, and then this came up, and this was something, you know, it was a bigger challenge and more people and a different animal altogether, but we bring some convention experience to it, so that's good.
Did you have any butting heads of some people, of some of the...
No. Everybody, we have a policy in Vanishing Ink and with the conventions that we only work with our friends.
Yeah.
So that's down to an absolute minimum, because the first rule is you had to like the person, and then we'll work with them.
Right. I think it was also pretty cool that, you know, you had this homage to your dad about with the pizza party and everything, you know, at the end.
Yeah.
That I could feel his presence here. You know, I think he was
a great man.
And it was good that you had done something, you know, really kind of in his honor and everything. And so, and I understand that there was another silent partner who was involved with this
There's other people who are...
Other people, I should say.
Who are helping, yeah. But it is our convention, just a two-person partnership.
Now, you and I talked before just on the podcast for the Magic Magazine about the youngsters, or how they can, you know, prepare an essay or something if they wanted to
That'll continue next year, too.
And so, explain what the deal is real quick.
If you're young and want to come to the Magi Fest, we're going to have a youth scholarship where you write an essay and you can win a chance to be at the fest for free.
And that'll be on the website.
Yeah.
Get the information. Great. Thank you, Josh. I appreciate
Thank
that.
Thank you, Scott. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank you, Scott. Great to be here.
Well, I'm sure it is. You've had...
Oh, yeah, it's my convention. Sorry. It's great to have you here. I said the wrong thing.
That's okay. Well, it's early in the morning over here. You had a very long convention.
I'm very jet-lagged as well. This is like 1983 for me right now. That's how jet-lagged I am.
So when are you guys when are you heading back?
First thing tomorrow morning, we're on a flight out here, and I'm going to sleep on the plane.
I was going to say, you're not going to go to bed, surely.
After 2 weeks of running conventions, I need to sleep on the plane.
I would think so. So are you planning on keeping the session at the same thing back-to-back with Magi Fest?
Yeah, it's great because it means my mind can just stay on conventions for the whole time. So,
yeah.
You know, at the session, I was planning at Magi Fest. It's just, that's the way it works, but I'm in convention mode for every January, and I like that.
And did you ever get around to correcting Simon when he was, as the MC, your last name is Gladwin, not Nyman.
Simon Lovell called me Andy Nyman. He was, he felt very bad about that, but that's fine. I called him Simon Aronson.
So you're even.
Now we're even.
Good. Thank you, Andy. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Scott Wells.
Did a great job at the convention over here, both of you guys.
That's high five.
All right. And so that's all from the bar. And man, this place is hopping, too. Oh, one other thing I do want to say. The fun thing about this, I think, was how that we had youth and older people that were sharing with each other so much.
that's what we wanted to kind of bring back with the Magi Fest. We wanted older and young, you know, like young guys like myself hanging out with old guys like John Archer has been so much fun.
Hey now. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it again, Andy.
Thank
great
you,
Scott
job. Wells. Andy we'll Nyman out.
Scotty out.
Hey, Scotty here again with just a quick message. If you enjoyed this podcast, then please register your approval by commenting or clicking in iTunes that you like the magic word. Never miss a thing by subscribing now to the RSS feed that will bring each episode straight to your iPhone or computer. You can also download the Magic Word app for the iPhone or iTouch that is updated with every new episode, picture, and video. This free app is not available through the iTunes store, but only through the Magic Word blog. Keep listening, learning, and enjoying. Scotty out.